السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن, have been trying to join the class.
How
How
are
are
you?
you? لا
Fine يا
بأس.
شيخ.
طيب, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له, ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah Abu Abdullah rahimahullah. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has compiled this book about the conduct and the manner of a Muslim. How does a Muslim conduct himself or herself in various circumstances? After our dealings with our fellows amongst human beings, our dealings with ourselves, our dealings with our parents, our mother, our father, our brothers, relatives, sisters, the near ones, and our neighbors, our subordinates, our superiors, we've handled narrations, guidance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his companions regarding each and every one of these part of our dealings in life, our dealings with people. Al-Imam al-Bukhari came back to our conduct and our dealings with Allah. And the major thing about that he has mentioned, rahimahullah, are our handling of our adhkar, our expressions of remembrance of Allah, and how we handle our dua. He spoke about manners, how to make dua, the manners of dua, and all of these, until he came to Babu Da'wat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter about the examples of the expressions of supplications that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would employ, the expressions, those wordings that the Prophet used sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dua. But like I will point out in every class, ikhwa, something occurs repeatedly, because Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned under this chapter, Babu Da'wat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned 23 ahadith. 23. How the Prophet used to pray, the expressions that he used to say, what he said in his dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he used to say it? One of the things that has occurred repeatedly was one of such things that occurs in Hadith 677, when Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said that anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yukthiru an yad'u bi hadha ad-du'a, yukthir, always, muchly, in many occasions, many times, meaning that the dua of the Prophet was kana kathiran, most times, many times, the Prophet was always making dua, making dua, making dua. He was a person of dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second report, the report of Abu Umama, under Hadith 679, Abu Umama, assistant, that is not of Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, He said, Kunna inda Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is 679. We were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fada'a bidu'a'in kathirin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a lot of supplications. La nahfazuhu. We were not even able to memorize those expressions because they were many. The Prophet was always making dua, dua, dua. And that was why he had told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, reported by Anas, radiyallahu anhum. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ad-du'a'u yanfa'u. Mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Dua is beneficial. Ayyuhannas, O people, brothers, make dua. Make dua regarding everything in your life. We dread the report from Abdullah ibn Umar, who said, radiyallahu anhuma, that in his own case, he made dua in every circumstance, including what happens to his beast of burden. Ibn Umar said, Inni la'ad'u fi kulli shay'in min amri hatta an yufsih Allahu fi mashi dabbati. Abdullah ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhuma, Inni la'ad'u fi kulli shay'in min amri, in every single matter of my affairs, la ad'u, I would make dua in all of our affairs. Ikhwa, everything you do, put dua. Everything you do, put dua. O Allah, make this thing successful. O Allah, grant me ease. O Allah, bless me. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, ease my affairs. O Allah, protect me. O Allah, guide me. These will be your own expressions. It can be in your language. It can be in any language you seek to ask Allah. But when you employ those expressions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are certainly better. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ighfir li. اللهم اغفر لي اللهم اغفر لي اللهم حبب إلي الإيمان زينه في قلبي. Du'as like this, always having something to ask Allah and leaving off a bit, keep away that phone that does not allow you have the time for dua, set it aside, because this dua is a major, major link between yourself and your Lord. It's a major means of respect. It's a major means of esteem. It's a major means of you lowering yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more dua you make, the better you are, the easier your affairs, the more guided you are, always ever saying something. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت أعلم به مني أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة. دعاء, always making دعاء. One of the things this thing will also encourage us to do is that we would always be in wudu. We would always be in wudu. It was one of the hallmarks of Bilal ibn Rabah. Each time one wudu became vitiated, he renewed the wudu. Each time one wudu became vitiated, he renewed the wudu, radiyallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned tremendous blessings for doing that, one of which is a place of highness inside Al-Jannah. Because we know that, yes, you can make dua when you are not in wudu, but it is better when you are in wudu. So if we keep a mind of dua, if we keep a psychology of dua, if you keep the track, the thoughts of ever always making dua, whether you are driving, whether you are walking, whether you are sitting down, whether you are cooking, you will see that your mind is regularly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always. The more you pay attention to dua, the more you ask Allah, the more Allah is pleased with you. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِالدُّعَى. So make dua, O servants of Allah, ask Allah, ask your Lord. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said to you, ادْعُونِي, call me, invoke me, ask me, supplicate to me, request from me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will answer you, I will grant you your needs. The last hadith we read was hadith 679. In hadith 680, with which we will start the class today, bi-idhnillah, al-imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Yahya ibn Bukair, qala haddathana al-Layth, عن يزيد بن هاد ابن الهاد عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة النار اللهم إني أعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة النار. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Zakaria al-Misri, Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Bukair. His name was Yahya. Many of the scholars of hadith bore that name, Yahya. And we know who Yahya was, alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Zakaria. Zakaria begged Allah for many years to get Yahya. So Yahya for Zakaria was a child out of dua. For many years, Nabiyu Zakaria was begging Allah, give me a son, give me a son, give me a son, give me a son. Until he became old, Allah gave him Yahya. That's a lesson there. Don't lose hope with your dua. Don't say, I have been asking, Allah has not given me. You would not have asked for as long as Yahya was asking. Yahya was asking, Yahya was asking, Zakaria was asking, Zakaria was asking, alayhi salatu wasalam, for many years, perhaps more than 50 years, he was begging Allah, fahabli min ladunka waliya yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Ya'qub. He will continue this job of messengership that we have brought. Waj'alhu rabbi radiya. And Allah gave him Yahya. One of the lessons there is we should not be hasty. We had learned this about dua, being hasty, saying that I have been calling and Allah has not answered. So this Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari shares that name. He is Yahya ibn Bukair, Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Bukair Al-Misri. He was from the scholars of Egypt and his kunya was Abu Zakaria. It was a very common thing amongst the scholars of hadith. When they bore Yahya, their kunya would be Abu Zakaria. رحمهم الله. He said, قال حدثنا الليث. الإمام الليث here is different from the Layth in the previous hadith. Layth in the previous hadith was Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. He was a weak reporter of hadith, well known. But here, Al-Layth, that is Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Rahimahullah, from the scholars of Egypt, and one of the friends, very close friends, and colleague of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, Rahimahullah, was a student of Malik. By the time he got to Misra, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd had passed away. So he always felt bad not meeting Layth directly. Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris. And then he would say, Al-Layth wa'alamu min Malik. Shafi'i said so. So Imam Al-Layth was very knowledgeable. And he combined between knowledge and wealth. He was profusely wealthy. Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. He was the one who collected this hadith from Yazid ibn al-Had. That is Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Usama ibn al-Had. He is Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Usama ibn al-Had. His own father's name was Abdullah. His grandfather's name was Usama. And his great-grandfather's name was al-Had. Or he became popular as what? Yazid ibn al-Had. So if your name is Abdullah, your father's name is Abdurrahman, your grandfather's name is Abdurrahim, and your great-grandfather's name is Abdul Malik, you can be called Abdullah ibn Abdul Malik. That is the evidence for a man's attribution to his great-grandfather. Many of us, we bear the names of our great-grandfather. Your name may be Muhammad, and your grandfather is Abdul Rauf. Yes, we can call you Muhammad ibn Abdul Rauf, because Abdul Rauf is your grandfather. So you can remove and not mention the father directly. All we are saying is that that practice, and it is common with many of us, we bear the names of our great grandfathers or our grandfathers, not necessarily and directly the name of the man who gave birth to us as a father. This is lawful, and it is a well-known practice in our ummah. So Yazid ibn al-Had reports this hadith from Amr ibn Shu'aib an abihi an jaddihi. Amr ibn Shu'aib an abihi an jaddihi. Amr ibn Shu'aib. He is Amr ibn Shu'aib ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So we can look at it now. Amr ibn Shu'aib ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So the scholars of hadith, the strongest view amongst them is that Jadduhu here in this isnad is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and Abihi that is mentioned in this isnad was Shu'aib rahimahullah ibn Muhammad. This isnad is a well-known isnad. Some of the scholars grade it sahih, and some amongst the scholars of hadith grade it hasan. There are a few others who say that isnad is da'if. Amru ibn Shu'aib and abihi and jaddihi. But that statement is an error. The least ruling of this isnad, Amr ibn Shu'aib and Abihi and Jaddihi, the least ruling is that the hadith is hasanun li ghayrihi, a hadith that is sound by itself. There is no weak reporter in any of those that have been mentioned. So this hadith, bismillah, is at least hasan. This isnad of Yahya ibn Bukayr reporting from Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, who was reporting from Yazid ibn al-Had, who reported from Amr ibn Shu'aib, from his father and Abi and Jaddihi, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. That is not, and this hadith is the same hadith as hadith 656. But in 656, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Abdullah ibn Salih, Katib al-Layth. Abdullah ibn Salih, Katib al-Layth, reported it from Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd. But in this isnad, al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reports it from Al-Imam Yahya ibn Bukayr, rahimahullah. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Jaddihi, the one who is the Jadd in this isnad, he said, Samitu al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama yaqul. I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama saying that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masih ad-dajjal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masih ad-dajjal. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih ad-dajjal. The fitna of the Dajjal is a big, big fitna. And it appears, and Allah knows best, that the world is already feeling the muqaddimat of that fitna. The muqaddimat of the fitna of the Dajjal, mankind is already feeling it. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ تَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُنْذُ ذَرَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّةَ آدَمْ أَعَظَمُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُنْذُ ذَرَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّةَ آدَمْ أَعَظَمُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ There has not been on the surface of the earth مُنْذُ ذَرَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّةَ آدَمْ Since Allah created Adam and his descendants, أَعَظَمُ There is no fitna, big, serious than the fitna of the Dajjal. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا حَذَّرَهُ أُمَّتَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا Allah has not raised and sent any prophet. إِلَّا حَذَّرَهُ أُمَّتَهُ Except that Nabi was warning his people about the fitna of Dajjal. وَقَدْ أَنذَرَ نُوحٌ أُمَّتَهُ الدَّجَّالِ Even Nuh alayhi salam, he warned his people about the fitna of Dajjal. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَأَنَا آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ I am the last of all the prophets. This is evidence. When the Ghulam and the Musaylim al-Kadhab and the 30 Kadhabun al-Dajjalun come to claim that they are prophets of Allah, we say to them that you are liars. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Akhirul Anbiya. So in this hadith, there is evidence. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنَا آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ I am the last آخِر Last أَنَا آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ I am the end of all the prophets of Allah وَأَنْتُمْ آخِرُ الْأُمَمِ وَهُوَ خَارِجٌ فِيكُمْ And you are the last of all the umam. No new ummah will come again. أَنَا آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ Wa antum akhirul umam. I am the last of all the prophets, and you, my ummah, antum akhirul umam. You are the last of all ummah. No ummah will come again apart from this ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa huwa kharijun fikum. Dajjal, it is in your time that he will emerge. Dajjal is already created. And one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tamim, radiyallahu anhu, he met Dajjal. Tamim, Abu Ruqayya, he met Dajjal. He saw Dajjal where Allah has tied him down. He is on an island on a sea. Tamim was blown, and his people, they were blown by the winds to that island. When he came, at that time, Tamim was a Christian. He wasn't a person of Iman. And Dajjal was asking them about the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has the Prophet come out amongst the Arabs? Has he migrated to that city of date palms? And all of these, as it occurs in the hadith of Jassasa in Sahih Muslim, from the report of Hasma bint Umais, radiallahu anha. It was in the morning when Tamim found his way back that he accepted Islam, radiallahu anha. And that was shortly before the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dajjal will come out in these our own times. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ana akhirul anbiya wa antum akhirul umam wa huwa kharijun fikum. It is during your time now that Dajjal will come. Fa in yakhruj wa ana bayn adhhurikum. If Dajjal comes out when I am in your midst, ikhwa, there's evidence here. The Prophet did not know when Dajjal will come out. That was why he said, fa in yakhruj wa ana bayna adhhurikum. If Dajjal comes out, wa ana bayna adhhurikum, while I am in your midst, fa ana hajijun li kulli muslimin, I will be the defense for every person of Iman. I will defend you against Dajjal if he comes out when I am alive. Ikhwa, it means that even the Prophet, la ya'lamul ghaib, he does not know the ghaib except what Allah tells him about the ghaib. The Prophet did not know whether Dajjal will come out in his time while he was alive, or he will come out after he had passed away. He did not know, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Walau kuntu a'lamul ghaib. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had known the ghaib, no evil would have touched him. But he did not know the ghaib except what Allah tells him with al-wahyu, whether the wahyu of Quran or the wahyu of hadith. So if anybody comes to you today and says he's a shehu, he knows the unseen. He sees what the people do not see. Fashhadu, bear witness upon such a person, annahu kazabun, that he is certainly a liar. Run away. Once you hear anybody telling you that, I will help you look at it, I will help you check it. You want to marry, you want to do a business, you want to anything, you want to travel. Someone tells you, let me help you check it. You should know that is a liar. Nobody knows al-ghayb. La ya'lamuha illallah. Nobody knows ghayb, unseen, except Allah. So the Prophet did not know when Dajjal will come out. That was why he said, فَإِنْ يَخْرُجْ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ. If Dajjal comes out while I'm in your midst, فَأَنَا حَجِيجٌ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. I am the protector, I'm the supporter, helper. I will support every Muslim against Dajjal. وَإِنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. But if I have died, this also means that the Prophet will die. Allah told him in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتٌ. The Prophet was meant to die, and he knew that he will die, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, if he goes away after I have gone, فَكُلُّ مْرِئٍ حَجِيجُ نَفْسِهِ, then every individual is the protector of himself. Wallahu khalifati ala kulli muslimin. I leave Allah to protect every person of Iman. Allah, listen, O servants of Allah, hear me. Ya ibadallahi, O servants of Allah, fasbutu, be firm, be fast, be firm, be steadfast. Ibadallahi, fasbutu, O servants of Allah, Allah, listen, when Dajjal comes, fasbutu, be firm, because the situation will be so confusing. A man will be upon Iman in the morning. By the evening, he has started to doubt Iman. You see somebody was upon Iman at Fajr. By Isha, he had turned to an atheist because of the things that he will be seeing, that he will think that they are true, but they are lies. Kazab, kazib. He will be seeing things that are lies, with which Dajjal will come to corrupt the Iman of the people. Many of the people in the morning, they will be from Iman. By the evening, they will be doubting Iman. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah, ya ibadallahi fathbutu, O servants of Allah, be firm, be firm. Innaha fitna, it is fitna, wa a'zamuha, not just fitna, but the biggest fitna that mankind would ever face. So by way of preparing and asking Allah for protection, the Prophet regularly said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masih al-dajjal. O Allah, I ask your protection from the fitna of Dajjal. O Allah, I ask your protection from the fitna of Dajjal. O Allah, I ask your protection from the fitna of Dajjal. The Prophet always said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'udhu bika min fitnatin nar. I also ask your protection from the trials of the fire, the punishment of the fire. O Allah, don't punish us with the fire. Don't make us people who will enter Jahannam, whether falsely or in any way. Allah, protect us from Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Wa'udhu bika min fitnatin nar. Ikhwa, ask Allah's protection away from Jahannam. May Allah never put us in Jahannam. May Allah protect us from the deeds that lead to Jahannam. Because Jahannam has deeds. There are things that when you are doing them, it is one of the roads to Jahannam. If you do those things, they will lead you to Jahannam. So if you don't want Jahannam, don't follow the road to Jahannam. You cannot be on the road to Jahannam and you are saying that you don't want to enter Jahannam. No. You must find the road of Al-Jannah. And like the Prophet told us in that hadith of Dajjal, Ya ibadallahi, O servants of Allah, fathbutu. Even before Dajjal himself comes, the internet has destroyed the Iman of many people. It is a very common thing to hear people saying that my Iman is weak, my Iman. Everybody is declaring weak Iman for himself. A woman who is told to rely on Allah regarding the condition of her husband is not having much now. She say, no, my Iman is weak, I can't wait. A girl, a woman, regarding her parents, say, no, my Iman is weak, I can't wait. Everybody is declaring weak Iman, weak Iman. Yashhaduna ala anfusihim bidhafil Iman. People are witnessing against themselves, my Iman is weak, my Iman. The same thing as sabru. As sabru, the Prophet called it diya. As sabru is light. It lightens your path to Al-Jannah. People say, no, my sabru is small. My latitude, my longitude and latitude of sabru is small. People are like this now. What makes it small? The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Ibadallah, Fasbutu, O servants of Allah, Fasbutu, be steadfast, Fasbutu, be firm, stand upon Iman as you should stand. Dajjal has not come. You see, people go to read things on the internet, their Iman begins to fall. Don't even ask of Tawakkul in our own times, relying on Allah. It is very small today. In the past, it was the women who were in the front of Tawakkul. In the past, women were in the front of Tawakkul. In our present time, lack of Tawakkul has sent many women out of their homes. They are running about now looking for food by themselves. They have stopped to rely on whatever the husbands provide them. Are running about now, helter skelter. Women say, I cannot wait for the man because Tawakkul is small. If you cannot wait for the man, can you not wait for Rabbu al-Man, the creator of the man, Rabbu al-Abd, or Rabbu al-Rajul? If you cannot wait, La tantaziri al-Rajula, La tantazirina Rabbahu. If you cannot wait for the man, can you not also be patient for Allah? Did Allah not tell you to be patient? Allah said, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعْتٍ مِّن سَعْتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Did Allah not say, be patient? The same thing the Prophet's wives, Allah told them to be patient. So relying on Allah now at Tawakkul is small amongst women. It has driven women outside. You see women in jilbab, women in niqab running all about because of little Tawakkul. I beg Allah to grant us ease for our husbands, provide for them, and make things easy for the homes. Ikhwa, brothers, make dua. Allah will ease your affairs. Women, go back home. Make dua. Make dua for your husbands. And Allah will bring ease to your husband and to you. And men too should be more responsible with their wives. Ikhwa, be more responsible. Be more responsible. If you have, give. That was why Allah gave that command. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعْتٍ مِّن سَعْتِ. The one who has لِيُنْفِقْ, this is command. That lam is lamul amr. That is why that cough has a jazm on it. لِيُنْفِقْ, let him therefore spend. Who? ذُو سَعْتٍ, the one who has a lot of wealth. مِّن سَعْتٍ, from that lot. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ. But on the other hand, the one who was only giving a little, let him spend from whatever that little may be. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa ma ataha. Sayaj'alu Allahu ba'da usri yusra. Faya ibadallahi fathbutu, O servants of Allah, be firm, be firm. So these days, people read things on the internet and they begin to doubt Iman. Dajjal has not come. We are only seeing the muqaddimat of the emergence of Dajjal. So it means the fitna of Dajjal is a very, very big fitna. So don't forget, one of the major du'as we should make, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-Masih al-Dajjal. Allah will protect you from the fitna of these muqaddimat too. One of the means to ask for Allah's protection from these muqaddimat of Dajjal that we are seeing is to be begging Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-Masih al-Dajjal wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-Nar. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati al-Masih al-Dajjal wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-Nar. May Allah protect each and every one of us from the fitna of Dajjal and its muqaddimat. May Allah also protect each and every one of us from the fire of Jahannam. In Hadith 681, الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن يونس قال حدثنا أبو بكر عن نصير بن أبي الأشعث عن عطاء بن السائب عن سعيد قال كان ابن عباس يقول اللهم قد نعني بما رزقتني وبارك لي فيه واخلف علي كل غائبة بخير، اللهم قنعني بما رزقتني وبارك لي فيه واخلف علي كل غائبة بخير. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his Sheikh Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Yunus At-Tamimi. The like of what we saw in the first isnad occurs here. This Ahmad ibn Yunus, he is Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Yunus. Lakin nusiba ila jaddihi. He was ascribed to his grandfather. His grandfather was Yunus. His own name was Ahmad. His father's name was Abdullah. But he was called Ahmad ibn Yunus, not Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Yunus. But that is his name. His own father was who? Abdullah. His father's father was who? Yunus. His own name was Ahmad. But he was called Ahmad ibn Yunus. Nusiba ila jaddi. That is al-intisab ila al-jadd. An ascription to the grandfather. It is lawful inside Islam. He said, حدثنا أحمد بن يونس قال حدثنا أبو بكر. We know this Iman, أبو بكر ابن عياش الأسدي, that well-known scholar of Quran. أبو بكر ابن عياش was a well-known scholar of Islam. He was teaching Quran, رحمه الله. He has another thing we should talk about. For him, Abu Bakr was not a kunya. فَكَانَ مِمَّنْ كَانَ كَانَتْ كُنْيَتُهُ إِسْمُهُ. His name was his kunya. Abu Bakr was his name. Abu Bakr was his kunya. There are some people, their name is Abdullah, but their kunya is what? Abu Bakr. For Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, كَانَتْ كُنْيَتُهُ Ismuhu. His name Kanat Kunyatuhu Ismahu. His name was his kunya. There are some scholars like that, like Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Kanat Kunyatuhu Ismahu. His kunya was his name. One of them was Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. Abu Bakr was his name. Abu Bakr was his kunya. But there are some people, they are kunya with what? Abu Bakrin. And their name is what? Abdullah. That was how Abu Bakrin himself, radiallahu anhu, as-Siddiq, that was how he was. His name was Abdullah, but his kunya was what? Abu Bakrin, radiallahu anhu. This Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari's Shaykh, Abu Bakrin ibn Ayyash al-Asadi, he was from the teachers of Quran. He reported this hadith from Nusayr ibn Abi al-Ash'ath. Nusayr ibn Abi al-Ash'ath. He was the one who collected this hadith from Ataw ibn Sa'ib. Ataw ibn Sa'ib was well known from the scholars of hadith. Rahimahullah. He had a peculiarity regarding his reports. We will not go to that, but he is reporting from Sa'id ibn Jubayr, that well-known student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Muhammad. Sa'id ibn Jubayr was who? Abu Muhammad, rahimahullah. He said, Kan ibn Abbas in Yaqul. Abdullah ibn Abbas would always say, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Ikhwa, let us learn this lesson. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Wala, let whatever you give me from risk konyani biha, let it be something that I will be pleased with. Let it be something that will be sufficient for me. I will be contented with it. Allahumma qanni'ni wala, let me be pleased with ma razaqtani, whatever you give me. Let it be of contentment to me. Let me find pleasure in it. Many people, Allah give them so many things, they don't have contentment at all. They are not pleased with what they have. Ar-ridha bima qasama Allahu lahum. So they behave as if Allah has not given them anything. There are people like that. Allah has a lot of favors He has given them. He gave them sound health. They are very healthy. They can sleep, wake up conveniently. They eat in the morning, eat in the afternoon, eat in the night. In fact, when they eat food, they follow it with courses. They eat fruits. They sleep, they relax. They go on vacations. They observe Salah regularly inside the masjid. And yet they don't feel that Allah has blessed them. There are many people like that. They have wives, they have children. They are behaving as if Allah has not blessed them. Why? Because of the failure they have regarding this dua. So, ikhwa, take it as part of your dua. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, make whatever you give me, make me be pleased with it. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Wa barik li fihi. Inside that one that you have given me. Barik li fihi. Bless me in it. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Wa barik li fihi. And bless me in whatever you give me. Bless it. Make me be pleased with whatever you give me. Wa barik li fihi. And bless me in that thing that you have given me. Some people have small money, but they don't fall ill. So they don't have to pay huge hospital bills. Some people have big money, and they have big illnesses they carry from one hospital in the world to the other. When I was far younger than this, I knew a sister. She fell from a bus while she was studying in the UK. She comes from a very, very stinkingly rich family, one of the richest families in the country. She fell from a bus, and every month at that time, every month, she had to go to the UK for some tests for the back, the pains regarding the spinal cord. She needs to go to the UK for regular checkups once a month. So sometimes people have a lot of money, they have a lot of problems. And sometimes you don't have a lot of money, but Allah has minimized your problems. So if you hear we talk about wabarik li fihi, this is part of barakat in the small things that you have. From the major meaning of wabarik li fihi is that your small money will be a means of benefit to a lot of people. Some people have a lot of money. Even they themselves don't feel the barakah. They don't feel the benefit in the money that they have. Ikhwa, you should know that when you are not giving charity, it is one of the indicators that your money lacks barakah. If your money has barakah, many people will be benefiting from it. That is the meaning of wabarik li fihi. Make the wealth you give me a means of benefit for me and everybody around me. If it is just that the money is much and nobody is benefiting from it, even you are not benefiting from it. Your wife is complaining every day. Your children are complaining every day. All that matters to you is that you are calculating how the money can reach billions. You want to have a record of ever being a billionaire. That is your problem. So nobody benefits from the wealth that Allah has given you. You should go and understand it. that wealth has little or no barakah in it. Unfortunately, such wealth, those who do that, they forget to also pay zakah, or they deliberately ignore zakat. They will be burnt in fire and be used to smear the face of the hoarders of the wealth. And it will be said to them, "Hadha ma kanaztum li anfusikum." This was the wealth that you were hoarding, keeping it for yourself. Fadhuku ma kuntum taknidun. So take taste from the punishment of what you were hoarding. If you are wealthy and people don't benefit from your wealth, even your wife don't benefit, your children, you yourself, you don't benefit, your mother, your near relatives, your neighbors, your friends, they don't benefit from your wealth. Go and know that there is more barakah in your wealth. If your wealth has a lot of barakat, the more people benefit from it, the more barakah your wealth has. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he would say, "Allahumma qani'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fi. Allahumma qani'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fi." He now ends with this third expression. Ikhwa, let us listen to this third expression of dua from the dua of Abdullah ibn Abbas. What will he say? واخلف علي كل غائبة بخير واخلف علي كل غائبة بخير كل غائبة. Everything that misses me. Voila, I was running after one business, but it missed me. I was running after one transaction, and then it went away. I did not get it. Or I have one wife, I missed her, she passed away, may Allah forgive her. Or I have one child, she passed away, oh, may Allah forgive her. Everything that I have ever missed in my life, ukhluf alayya bi khair, return it to me, grant me something of it, give me something in its place, bi khair, upon goodness. Whatever I miss, I pursue something and I miss it. Or I had something with me and then it goes off my hand and I didn't like that it went away. It has become a ghaiba to me. Oh Allah, replace it for me, bi khairin, with goodness. Whatever I miss, give me back with goodness. You know how you will give me. Return it to me upon goodness. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma will say, "Wakhluf alayya kullaga," everything that I have missed, or everything that misses me, oh Allah, bring it back to me, bi khair, give me goodness in its place, replace it with goodness for me. If it is a wife, if you are giving me another wife, let it be upon goodness. If it is a husband, some people lose husbands to death. I usually remember one of our sisters. This woman, I have seen her to be a very nice woman. She has a child, she has a boy and a girl, and her husband passed away from cancer. Since then, she has not remarried again. But this woman appears to be a very devoted woman to her deen. May Allah provide her a good place of stay as a home, a good shelter as a home, a righteous man who will be suitable for her. Ya Dhal Jalal wal Ikram. May Allah provide her so soon out of His mercy and compassion on her. Likewise, other women who are there, they've lost husbands, they've lost marriages. May Allah reunite them. Ikhwa ummahat, the deen of a woman is easier under a husband than without a husband. May Allah make it easy. You only need the one that is suitable and righteous. Righteous and suitable. And Allah has khair, biyadihil khair. Khair al khair, goodness that knows no bounds lies in the hand of Allah. As'alullaha min fadli. Make dua, ask Allah. Don't say, I have lost hope. These men are bad. These men are this. Allah has good ones with him. Beg him to give you one good and righteous one. But don't forget, as you are looking for a good and a righteous man, you too, you must be good and righteous. That is just what is fair. You must be good and righteous. Then you are asking Allah for good and righteous. Allah will give you. Ask him. He said, ask me, I will give you. The same thing to some of our brothers who have lost their wives, maybe to divorce or maybe to death. May Allah suffice them. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, waqlub alayya kulla ghaibatin bi khair. Everything that I have missed or everything that I have lost that missed me, return it to me bi khair, with goodness. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, kana yad'u, he would make dua and said, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fihi wa akhluf alayya kulla ghaibatin bi khair. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Wala, make me be pleased with whatever you have blessed me with. Bless me in it. Make it be beneficial to me. Whatever I miss, return it to me upon goodness. This hadith is sound from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Some of the reporters said it was from the dua of the Prophet, but that is weak. What is sound in Allah is that this dua is from the dua of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And some of the scholars of hadith, like Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman Al Sa'd, has investigated hadith, and he said, Isnaduhu la ba'sabihi. The sanad is, inshallah, there's no blame in it, bismillah. He mentioned other reporters who reported the hadith, and the hadith is sound as from the statement of and the dua of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fihi wa akhluf alayya kulla ghaibatin bi khair. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fihi wa akhluf alayya kulla ghaibatin bi khair. اللهم قنعني بما رزقتني وبارك لي فيه واخلف علي كل غائبة بخير يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. I think it should suffice as a lesson properly to stop here. Abu عبد الرحمن.
آمين
وأنتم فضلكم الله.
My question here is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. May Allah preserve you upon sound head and iman. Please, sir, what are the dua recommended for a wife to do for her husband?
Every dua of goodness. Every dua of goodness. Every dua of goodness. Beg Allah to guide him, to make ease for him. Beg Allah to provide for him. Beg Allah to preserve him. Beg Allah to grant him istiqamah upon khayr. I have heard before, and many times, a woman will say, when I married my husband, he was righteous. He has now become unrighteous. There are cases like this. So everybody should ask Allah for sabat. Ask Allah for steadfastness. Ask Allah to keep us steadfast. Everything, every goodness, you can ask for from the goodness of dunya and from the goodness of akhirah, ask it for your husband. These are from the best of women, women who deliberately, specially make dua, not just once, not twice. That is her regular practice for her husband. These kinds of women usually have sakina. One of the things they will get is rest of mind. Women who are always ever making dua for their husbands, they get rest of mind. Allah brings them sakina. Allah also brings ease to the husband. I remember a very old elderly friend, himself and one of our brothers performed Hajj. So he listened to his brother and they spoke at length. He came and said, come, do your wife is asking that brother, your wife's make dua for you. The brother said, yes, they don't have any job, just be making dua for their husband. Said he knows and he has always ever heard. This person is a very elderly person. His father was a very learned person from the scholars of tafsir in their community. He said his father usually also say that when women become prayerful for their husbands, the women themselves will get sakina, and the husbands themselves will always be fortunate. Whatever business they do, it will flourish. When they run after things, they get it. Why? They have an engine room somewhere, begging Allah, Allah, give him, Allah, give him, Allah, give him. Don't forget, when you make dua for somebody, there's an angel near you saying that Allah should answer and give you the like of that. So if you are begging Allah for your husband for risk, and there is malaika, malak, saying that yes, Allah should answer it and then give you too. If that risk will come through your husband, because you are sitting there in the house, it means your husband will get the kind of risk by which you'll be able to enrich you too. So it will come back to you. The richness will come back to you. If it is steadfastness upon religion, it will come back to you. It will come back to your children. So one of the best things women do inside the house is not just pressing your phones, as it has become the way of life of many women today. Drop the phone one corner, go and make wudu, and be making dua for your husband. This is my husband who left home. Allah, protect his deen, protect his health, protect his honor. Grant him ease, grant him support upon his job. You will just see that the man is in his office. Jobs people can do are the jobs that he does. The job when everybody finds it hard to do, you will see the man doing it. Why? There is somebody at home making dua for Allah for him. A woman that is like this is from the best of women. May Allah preserve these kinds of women. Make their life easy for them. Grant them steadfastness. Allah bless their children. Bless their lives. Bless their existence. Accept their repentance and grant them al-Jannah. There are other women who are seeking, hoping they can be like this too. Allah make it easy for them. Accept their forgiveness. Accept their repentance. Help them be able to turn a new leaf. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. Ya Hayu Ya Qayyum. Naam Aba Abdul Rahman. Can we call it a day today?
Naam Ya Shaykh Al-Masallah.
Ameen wa Iyakum. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.